The chief clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
Here.
Barlow.
Here.
Berger.
Here.
Blake.
Here.
Blevins.
Here.
Lickry. Lickry. Brown.
Here.
Burkhart. Burkhart. Bird.
Here.
Campbell.
Here.
Kennedy.
Here.
Coleman.
Here.
Connolly. Davison.
Here.
Eklund.
Here.
Esquibel. Esquibel.
Excused.
Esquibel. Excused. Filer.
Here.
Freeman.
Here.
Gay.
Here.
Gingery.
Here.
Goggles.
Here.
Greer. Greer. Green.
Here.
Halverson.
Here.
Harshman.
Here. Excused. I'm
Harshman.
Sorry. He's excused.
Harshman. Excused.
I'm here.
Harvey. Hunt.
Here.
Hutchings.
Here.
Yagi.
Here.
Kasparik.
Here.
Kirkbride.
Here.
Croker.
Here.
Crone.
Here.
Larson.
Here.
Lockhart.
Here.
Laux.
Here.
Madden.
Here.
Mater.
Here.
McKim.
Here.
Miller.
Here.
Moniz.
Excused.
And Moniz excused. Nicholas.
Excused.
Nicholas excused. Northrup.
Here.
Patton.
Here.
Paxton.
Here.
Petroff.
Here.
Paperinen.
Here.
Reeder.
Here.
Simlick.
Here.
Summers.
Here.
Stubson. Stubson excused. Teeters.
Here.
Throne.
Here.
Walters.
Here.
Watt.
Here.
Wilson.
Here.
Winters.
Here.
Zwanitzer Dan.
Here.
Zwanitzer Dave.
Here.
Mr. Speaker.
Here.
Lickry.
Excused.
Lickry excused. Burkhart.
Excuse.
Burkhart excused. Greer.
Excuse.
Greer excused. 52 present, 8 excused.
The prayer of the day is offered by Reverend Rick Veit, representing St. Mark's Episcopal Church in Cheyenne.
Thank you. Today I'd like to offer a prayer for our armed forces. And as we pray it and as you hear it, you perhaps will recognize it's a good prayer for all of us. And so let us pray. Almighty God, we commend to your gracious care and keeping all the women and men of our armed forces at home and abroad. Defend them day by day with your heavenly grace. Strengthen them in their trials and temptations. Give them courage to face the perils which beset them, and grant them a sense of your abiding presence wherever they may be. For it is in your name that we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
House will come to order. With that order of business of Journal Committee report.
The Journal Committee reports that the Journal of February 26, 2014 has been read and recommends that it be approved, signed by Representative Winters and Filer.
With that order of business of messages from the Senate. We don't have any messages from the Senate. The doctor of the day is Dr. Christina Berenger, MD from Cheyenne, Wyoming. Dr. Berenger, welcome to the House. Members of the House, today we are joined by the Director General and the Deputy Director General from the Taipei Economic and Cultural Office in Seattle. Director General Andy Chin and Deputy Director Richard Lin have traveled here today to promote and strengthen the economic and cultural and educational ties between the United States and Taiwan. Please help me in welcoming Director Chin and Deputy Director Lin to the floor. And Director Chin, if you would like to share a few words, we would be glad to hear from you.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This is my sixth trip during my 2 years tenure here. This is my great honor and privilege and pleasure to stand here, to extend to all of you our heartfelt appreciation for the passage of the resolution and all your continued long-term support for Taiwan. In particular, in business, trade promotion, the Trans-Pacific Partnership. This is quite important for Taiwan to be included in this TPP negotiation process because that is beneficial not only for Taiwan, but also for the American investors in Taiwan and also for our bilateral trade and business relationship. Today, when I entered this capital here, I heard a beautiful military sound, the military music, and I was told that this is a celebration of the veteran military servicemen here. This reminds me of that this year is the 77th anniversary of the victory over the Republic of China's victory over the Japanese invasion during the 1940s. And this reminds me of our traditional friendship. During that time, before and after, when we are military allies, when we are together fighting against the aggression and trying to defend freedom, democracy, and human rights. It is such kind of a traditional friendship, and these commonly share the values of freedom, democracy, and human rights. That's our friendship and our comprehensive relations, in particular, business. Taiwan last year became the United States' number 12th largest trading partner in the whole world, which means such a tiny island of Taiwan, we have only 14,000 square miles and 23 million people. But we are ahead of the other more than 180 countries in the world and become one of the major trading partners with the United States. That is not only business. That is friendship. That is what allies means for. And also that I will say that last year when the governor visited Taiwan, this delegation, his visit, broadened our comprehensive friendship and relationship, and even consolidate and further this kind of relationship. With his trip to Taiwan, people in Taiwan now know more about this great state of Wyoming. At least we understand where the Yellowstone really is. And I'm happy that the governor accepted my suggestion, wearing his cowboy feet, to Taiwan and show to the consumers. When we dream of this westernness and we envy, admire this vastness of the Wild West, and here is where we should go. This is the Wyoming Great State. So I'm happy to see that on the headline of some of our major media, Governor Mead, wearing his cowboy hat, he made a huge impression on our Taiwanese consumers and businessmen. So with his trip, we have focused on several fields. First is energy, the coal, shale gas, and also the other, and the soda ash, of course, and the other effect, another field is tourism, and also education. So this trip, tomorrow, I'm going to meet with the governor and report to him. To follow up his trip, we are going to have a very comprehensive plan for this. And also this afternoon, I'm going to Wyoming University and to discuss about the technological cooperation, study on the best use of coal, how to save the energy and how to reduce the pollution, something like this. I think I will say that our relationship between Taiwan and Wyoming State is expanding and is progressing. So this all because of your support, your help. I take this opportunity to thank you and also to wish all of you a happy Lunar New Year of the horse. And the horse means galloping toward success. And this best exemplifies our friendship and relationship. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you both for joining us in the House today and working so hard to cultivate this important relationship. We wish you the best as you continue your mission across the United States. Brothers and sisters, today we welcome our Wyoming military veterans and their families. Please help me in welcoming these folks, members of the Wyoming Army and Air National Guard, personnel from F.E. Warren Air Force Base, personnel from the United States Navy Operational Support Center, members of the Wyoming Veterans Commission, Veterans Service Organizations, and the Wyoming Veterans. Thank you for your service and sacrifice. Representative Semlek, you get the first privilege of the floor.
Well, thank you, Mr. Speaker, and may I have privilege of the floor. And indeed, it is a great honor and privilege today for me to introduce our page of the day. Grace Anderson comes to us from Hewlett. She is a sixth grader at the Wyoming Virtual Academy. She's in band and choir in the Sundance community, and she hopes to go on a mission to Haiti this summer. But today she is here with us and her grandmother, Thea Knuckles, in the North Gallery. Let's welcome them both to the House.
Welcome to the House, Representative Green.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And I know we thanked all the veterans for their service, but I'd also like to particularly thank the 67th Army Band who performed today in the Rotunda. Their conductor is Chief Warrant Officer Rob Phillips, and they're to our, in our gallery here to our left, and they're based out of Wheatland, Wyoming. So we can thank the 67th Army Band. Mr. Speaker, do I have another privilege?
Certainly.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And those of you who don't know our newest staff member, 40 years ago, she actually participated in the band in the Wyoming Army National Guard, and then she became the first female Army general in the Wyoming Guard. I call her ma'am and general. You probably call her Kathy. But if we could thank Kathy Wright, since the band performed today.
Representative Blickery, privilege of the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, it's appropriate on this day when we're celebrating our military that we remember that 23 years ago today, Specialist Manuel De Villa gave his life in Desert Storm. He was the only soldier from Wyoming who lost his life in combat in Desert Storm. Please remember him.
Representative Escobar.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. May I have privilege of the floor?
Certainly.
Today is the day of hope, and I wanted to bring your attention to three things that you all received on your desks: a handout report on blood cancers in Wyoming, a CD with pictures from Camp Courage. That's where we send the kids that are going through childhood cancer. And not only on the Day of Hope do we have hope for those people in Wyoming that are going through cancer, the cancer survivors, and we pray for the victims of cancer. But today, hope means a lot more than just that word. Mr. Speaker, I'd also like to take this opportunity to introduce some members that are here from the Wyoming affiliate of Komen, Susan G. Komen Board. It's Maria Medina, she's the executive director, Lisa Taylor, she's the race coordinator, and I'm proud to say that tomorrow is my anniversary with my wife, and she's the board president, Susie. You are on the Susie.
Yay!
And to thank the volunteers and all the rest of the board members and recognize a former member of this body and the one across the other side of the Capitol there, former Senator Jane Mockler. And, Mr. Speaker, I'm going to turn the mic over to Chairman Lockhart.
Chairman Lockhart.
As you know, we, as a legislature, have been supportive of the Race for the Cure. We got some recognition of that. We were number two in 2012. This will be displayed in our room 302, so you can see it in that reward cut. But Race for the Cure has been a big thing with this the legislature generally, and it'll be one again this year. So thank you for all you do.
Representative Coleman.
Mr. Speaker, may I have privilege of the floor?
Certainly.
It is my honor this morning to introduce the 2014 class of Leadership Sheridan in the South Gallery. Stand up.
Welcome to the House. Representative Eklund.
Privilege, Mr. Speaker.
Certainly.
Thank you. In this gallery over here, I have some friends from home, Judy Ogle and her three boys. They're homeschooled, and they live north of Burns, and I have the privilege of teaching them in Sunday school.
Welcome to the House. Anybody else with any privileges of the floor? Well, let's go to Representative Yagi.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to introduce the mayor from the Oasis of Southwest Wyoming, Scott Dillinger, his councilman, Scott Sidwell, and Brian Ayers. They've made the trip. And by the way, they like the way we voted on funding cities and counties.
Welcome to the House. We're at that order of business of reports from standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, your committee number 4, Education, to whom is referred Senate File 3, School Facilities Collaborative Committee Process, reports back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with following amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Connolly, Freeman, Hunt, Northrop, Paxton, Summers, and Teeters. 2 no votes, Representatives Patton and Pieperinen, signed by Representative Connolly, Vice Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 4, Education, to whom is referred Senate File 4, School Finance, Local Resources, respectfully report same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Connolly, Freeman, Hunt, Northrop, Patton, Paxton, Pieperinen, Summers, and Teeters, signed by Representative Teeters, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 4, Education, to whom is referred Senate File 5, Teachers National Certification Pay Incentive, respectfully report same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Connolly, Freeman, Hunt, Northrop, Patton, Paxton, Pieperinen, Summers, and Teeters, signed by Representative Teeters, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 5, Agriculture, State and Public Lands and Water Resources, to whom is referred Senate File 31, Engrossed, 24/7 Sobriety Program, reports back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with following amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Blake, Campbell, Eklund, Greer, Hunt, McKim, Simlick, Winters, and Dan Zwanitzer, signed by Representative Simlick, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 5, Agriculture, State and Public Lands and Water Resources, to whom is referred Senate File 115, Warrantless Searches and Repeal, respectfully report same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Campbell, Eklund, Greer, Hunt, McKim, Simlick, Winters, 2 no votes, Representatives Blake and Dan Zwanitzer, signed by Representative Simlick, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your Committee Number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, to whom is referred Senate File 89, Engrossed, Health Professionals and Medicaid Billing, reports back to the House with recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Barlow, Coleman, Filer, Green, Harvey, Kasparik, Larson, Throne, and Wilson, signed by Representative Harvey, Chairman.
With that order of business of bills on second reading, the first bill for our consideration is Senate File 6.
Senate File 6 from the Agricultural Committee, an act relating to water.
There is an amendment. Chairman Simlick.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 6 and ask for your favorable consideration. We are in the part of Senate File 6 on page 4 where it talks about a process that's set up by the state engineer to have a public hearing. You find that on line 14. This amendment goes down into line 22 on page 4 and removes to the parties. The purpose of removing this is at this stage in the public hearing, there are no parties. And it just the change in this language that I propose in this amendment just reflects that that if the state engineer is going to provide records and information, it will be to everyone, not just to the parties. So that is the purpose of the second reading amendment, and I ask for your favorable consideration.
Anyone else for their first time? First time. Second time. We're voting on second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 6. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Senate File, second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 6 has passed. Senate File 6 having been read 2 separate times, question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 7.
Senate File 7 from the Agriculture Committee, an act relating to livestock.
Senate File 7 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 13.
Senate File 13 from the Education Committee, an act relating to the Hathaway Student Scholarship Program.
Senate File 13 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 18.
Senate File 18 from the Corporations Committee, an act relating to county notice publications.
Senate File 18, having been read two separate times, question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 19.
Senate File 19, the Corporations Committee, an act relating to cities and towns.
Senate File 19, having been read two separate times, question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 20.
Senate File 20, the Corporations Committee, an act relating to local government notice publications.
Senate File 20, having been read two separate times, question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 34.
Senate File 34 from the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to involuntary hospitalization.
Senate File 34, having been read two separate times, question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 42.
Senate File 42 from Senator Geis, an act relating to electrical licensing.
Senate File 42, having been read two separate times, question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 45.
Senate File 45 from the Travel Committee, an act relating to game and fish.
There is an amendment, Representative Gay.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I bring you amendment, second reading amendment, number one, to Senate File 45. Simple little amendment. I did some calculations. This would have been called an app back in my day. Did some calculations. What they're trying to do is get general fund money to pay for health insurance for this department, amounting to $6,500 per year per employee. That comes from supposedly license fees. Now they want this to come from your taxpayer dollars, general fund dollars, being shifted over. It's the old shell game. So I ask for your support for second reading amendment one. Thank you.
Mr. Speaker, I stand on and against this amendment. Currently, the Game and Fish Commission, I believe, according to testimony yesterday, that this compensation currently comes out of sportsman's dollars. I would rather see this come out of the general fund like other agencies, and the Game and Fish needs more funding. And this is kind of the route I think we should have taken, which is, instead of increase the license fees, let's put a little more general fund money into this agency. So I stand against this amendment, but for the bill.
Representative Crone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against the amendment, there was testimony both during the interim and during the session that they're the only agency that does not receive general fund appropriations for health insurance is the Game and Fish. There is a small portion in the Department of Transportation that is not covered by general fund dollars, but the only entire agency that's not covered for the health insurance costs are the Game and Fish Department. I think this is a matter of equity. I think it's an appropriate use of general fund dollars, so I would urge the body to reject the amendment and adopt the bill. Thank you.
Representative Madden, are you strolling or speaking? Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think this probably should be passed because, and let me tell you why, that this is an enterprise department. It's primarily enterprise, except for the cases where we have said they had to do things outside their original scope. And if we keep adding general fund money, what we're doing is masking the true cost of operating an enterprise fund. I guess you can do that, but, you know, how do you get the signal that license fees, which is always paid for the enterprise, how do you know when license fees are needing to be increased if you're cherry-picking certain costs out and allocating them to the general taxpayers of the state? So I think you ought to consider this amendment.
Chairman Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And I think at this point in the game, I think we need to defeat the amendment and move the bill forward, which might shock some of you. But I've come to the conclusion that the only way we're going to fix this problem of how to fund the Game and Fish is to I think we need to look at taking and putting all of their revenues into a budget, into an account, and then make them come back and appropriate back out of that account. And I think that'd be a fair way to do it and provide transparency that the taxpayers demand for these sorts of programs. But going forward, there are legitimate concerns that need to be addressed, and that sort of reorganization needs to be discussed by this institution. But I support the bill the way it's written.
Chairman Davison.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On and against the amendment, I think that if the body remembers, we have not increased the license fee for the last 2 years. We've turned that down, and it's only a fair thing that we fund the benefits for the Game and Fish just like we do for every other department. Thank you.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against the amendment, the chairman brought up a fair point when he talked about whether this is an enterprise fund or not, and I think that might be why there's a bit of a struggle going on here. When this department started out, it was an enterprise fund, and it was funded by enterprise revenues, and so it basically dealt with things that we hunt and fish for and eat, and we paid license fees, and it should have been a self-sustaining program, and that's fine. Over the years, and we've all been a part of it, all of us have directed this department in one way or another to do things that don't involve things that we hunt and fish and eat. And they are, among other things, they are the front runner, the vanguard in our state for monitoring endangered species and letting us know when those when species are becoming endangered or when there are threats to them that we need to be aware of. And they do a number of other things of that sort that we have asked them to do, we've tasked them to do. They cannot cover those costs for those things out of license fees. So it's not a pure enterprise fund anymore. And so we struggle back and forth, and as the chairman said, and I agree with him 100%, it's hard to measure. I do think there's information in their budget that would help us measure, and I think that it might be appropriate to dig in that budget deeper and try to really define the enterprise portion of this and the general fund portion of this. But that is where the confusion is, and so we're wavering back and forth, and I think this matter of health insurance costs for the department sets kind of on the balance point. Which way should it throw? And a lot of us are going to do it on opinion. It's not going to be based on any facts. But the fact of the matter is, as more and more tasks are put on this department that must be paid for out of the general fund because there's no license fee revenue to pay for them, then more and more general fund money has to be devoted to this department. We can't expect them to do these tasks for us that we assign to them that have nothing to do with what we hunt and fish and eat without some revenue to go with it. So that's where the balance is, and I would ask you to defeat this amendment and understand that this becomes a part of the general fund money that we put in this department for the things that we ask them to do that are unrelated to license fee revenue. So on and against the amendment. Thank you.
Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And I think Wyoming has done a wonderful thing funding the mandates that this legislature has given to Game and Fish Department. When we told them to go after aquatic invasive species, we gave them the money to do it. When we told them to, whatever we've mandated, we have funded. And I would just remind this body that the department has a $50 million savings account. Thank you.
Any other discussion? Discussion, first time. Second time. Second time prior to the sponsor. Representative Gay.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The previous speaker mentioned aquatic invasive species among those that we fund out of the general fund. You can add to that veterinary funds, sage grouse funding for $1.9 million, wolf for $1.4 million, chronic wasting disease goes on. This department also gets Pitt and Robinson tract tax
for about $6 million, as well as non-resident fish tax. So they've got their hand pretty deep into the general taxpayers' fund, or the general taxpayers' pocket, rather. And I urge your passage of this amendment. Thank you.
We are voting on second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 45. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 45 has failed. Senate File 45 having been read two separate times, question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 55.
Senate File 55 in the Education Committee, an act relating to the Hathaway Student Scholarship Program.
Senate File 55 has an amendment. Chairman Semlett.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 55. And ladies and gentlemen, for the purpose of the discussion of this amendment, I would ask you to find in your box a Hathaway student retention and graduation sheet that has Senate File 55 on the top of it with my initials in House District 1. If I'm going to make this argument to you, it's just essential that you have that in front of you. If I can respectfully ask that you kind of watch that as we go down. Ladies and gentlemen, as I said yesterday on General File, the Hathaway Scholarship Program is a good friend of this body. We, at the appropriate time a few years ago, we established that, and it has been put into place. We've got an inviolate fund there, I think nearly $400 million in that fund. And I think from time to time we just need to take a look at the program achieving what it was intended to do. So when we consider Senate File 55 and the Standing Committee Amendment that we have adopted, what we've done is just kind of looked at the inflationary cost that goes into our post-secondary education, said, well, we had to really consider increasing the stipend that's available for this three-tiered scholarship program. And I'll tell you right now, folks, it's really not whether we raise it $40 or lower $30 or $60, that's not really what I come up here and argue with you. My argument today on this amendment is just kind of a philosophical argument that really calls out to us, I think, at times to have a fiduciary responsibility to take a look at our programs and see if they're really doing what we intended them to do. So what second reading amendment number 51 to Senate 55 does, it deletes the standing committee amendment. And then we go into each of the tiers. And what I've done is, and I want to have you reflect for just a minute on the third block down on that sheet, and it's the four-year graduation rate for the honors performance and the opportunity scholarships, and this is for students starting in the fall of 2008. So what I've done in this amendment is just take the graduation rate approximately, for example, in the opportunity scholarship after 4 years, we're at 10%. So just to kind of make my case on this amendment is, I say, well, if we're going to give an increase, let's give it proportionally to the amount of what we've seen the graduation rate. So this amendment just reflects a 10% increase there. On a performance side of the tier, it's 19%. So I've given the benefit of the doubt and said, let's take off the standing committee amendment. Let's go back to the base file that's come over from the other house and consider a 20% there. And then on the honors, after 4 years, we'll do, I think we did about a 50%. Again, the numbers really aren't that important. But I would really like us to just kind of go back to the amounts in the Hathaway Scholarship that came across from the other body. And just for the purpose of saying, maybe we should concentrate on how to increase the graduation rate within this program as opposed to increasing the amount. So, kind of another fallout of the Hathaway Scholarship has been in many of our schools, particularly our small schools, is it has diverted students out of the career tech education programs and put them on the Hathaway pathway, which is, you know, which is fine. But as you can see, particularly in the opportunity and the performance side, a lot of these students, well-intended or not, are just not graduating. So we divert them out of the career tech program, put them on the Hathaway program, and then they don't graduate, and then they're really not trained up to do, to be prepared to deal with the issues that we have in terms of Wyoming's workforce. So that's why I've done. Again, the amounts aren't particularly important, but I just want an opportunity for all of you to see, if you haven't, what these retention rates are. And I know I've just picked one. You know, certainly a lot of students are on the five-year program. You get to the top block. A lot of our students on the six-year program, but even at that, on the opportunity side, it's still only 4 out of 10 students graduate after 6 years. And that's okay. And it's, you know, if the average of these students in the Hathaway program are slightly better than the average of the students, but they should be much better than that. And we just need to figure out how we can enhance that graduation rate and retain these students in this program. And again, the dollars don't really make sense, but I just want to have an opportunity by way of this amendment to have that discussion with you.
Chairman Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Rising on and against the amendment, and I appreciate the good chairman of the Ag Committee for bringing the amendment so that we can have this discussion further. And really where this discussion leads us is to the overall quality of what we're producing in our K-12 system that's feeding into this system. And so that's why you see many of us vigorously moving forward with accountability that I think is really going to move our state in a direction where we're going to have more students that are ready for college. Unfortunately, what we looked at when we decided to raise these rates had nothing to do with graduation rates. It had nothing to do with retention rates. It had nothing to do with the quality of the programs. What it had to do with was simply looking at where the scholarship started out 7 years ago in relation to the fund and the amount of inflation that we've experienced over the course of the last 7 years. So our debate really was limited to that. When the Hathaway Scholarship was set up 7 years ago by this institution, these were the levels at which we determined as a body that we thought was appropriate for these levels. And our committee was merely trying to maintain that. That's all we were doing. And actually, with the inflation adjustment that we make in the bill, we still are not fully maintaining the disparity in the amount that is lost through inflation. We just do a little better job of it. When we negotiated the creation of the Hathaway, the performance, and the opportunity scholarships, we talked about the different aspects of what should be included to allow people to participate in those different levels. And if you'll recall, those of you that served with us 8 years ago, there aren't very many of us left, we debated that heavily, and as I recall with the conference on the other side, the House's interpretation of it was that because this institution, because this program is really for all Wyoming students, the House's position was to make it more inclusive. And so we allowed more people to participate in these scholarships than we could have. At some point in time, if we want to reevaluate the levels at which the requirements of these levels, I think that's an appropriate conversation. If you want to increase the success rate, one way to do that is to make it more rigorous for those students to be eligible for those scholarships. And I'd be happy to engage in that conversation at some point. But this bill was really about maintaining the scholarship at the levels at which it was created. And it was our understanding, based on the fiduciaries of where the fund is at, with the amount of inflation that's occurred, that we can certainly afford this, and that's why we recommended it.
Representative Freeman.
Just briefly, this is a monetary decision in trying to keep up with inflation to where that our students can work at their schools. I think that the data that we have been provided has to be expanded. If you go to any college, and I'll pick on mine, a community college, and somebody goes into a one-year certificate, they're eligible for a Hathaway scholarship. So if they get in and they take a welding certificate, they go out and get a nice $35 an hour job, which means that they're being paid more than you are. Then you look at their statistics, and it looks like the student in the community college, in this case, is not doing very well. I have some problems with the Hathaway Scholarship. It's the good chairman of education has already hinted on that. To maintain your Hathaway Scholarship, you only have to take 12 credits. The only university in the Wyoming, most of their degrees require 128. If you take 12 credits per year, you're not going to get out in four. The 6 credits the 6-year ending rate is basically the logical end to where that is at. I think the Hathaway has to be looked at. I think that we have to have other measures to gauge its success. But right now what happens is we're talking about to maintain our financial commitment to the people that enter into the program. I think we have to make the program more rigorous to where that we do the students some good by raising the standards.
Representative Yagi.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Good discussion we're having here, and as the Chairman of Education said, we're getting into some areas a little bit away from just raising the 3 levels by a percentage. But one thing that was said that I have a little bit of concern with, where we are talking about high school kids being better prepared to go to college, so being a little bit more accountable and raising, and so the way we increase the retention in universities is raise the standards in high school. Well, I get a little tired of that. I push back a little bit. I think we do need to look at our schools and the teachers and the way they're doing, their principals. But I'm here to tell you, I think the principals and especially the teachers are doing a pretty good job. And so as we talk about kids and they're graduating in 4 years, we're leaving out one thing that I think we need to talk about. And that is the high or the college professors and the community college teachers. I think they have some responsibility in here. And if we have these graduation rates in high school that you have in college, wow, would we be getting a lot of pushback. So I just gently want to remind everybody that I think the schools are doing a pretty good job, and can they do better, and can we have more, as has been pointed out, sure. But I think we need to consider the, especially University of Wyoming, and the professors, the teachers, they're really taking an interest in kids and trying to help them through even more than they do. And I think they do, but I think they can improve on that one. So I just want to bring that up, that the upper level, not only the high school level, we need to be looking at that also. And that's not necessarily in this bill, but we're talking about it, so I bring it up. Thank you.
Chairman or Representative Patton.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and opposed to the amendment, this is not a fiscal problem that we're looking at, fiscally meaning in two ways. The amount of money that is being saved isn't going to save the budget from being unbalanced or balanced, which in a budget session that might be legitimate to discuss. And secondly, the amount of reduction isn't sufficient that it has a great impact, except that in my mind it makes a statement. It makes a statement of saying that we don't have the same commitment to an honors program today as we had yesterday. Now, I'm not one to be a part of that. When I take a look at the retention rate, the percentage of students is leveled off at 47%. That's pretty good. But not only that honors program, fall to fall registration and retention in the class of fall of 2011 91%. That's not a project that's failing. I think it deserves our attention and our continued support on and against the amendment.
Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against, and I appreciate the good Chairman of Ag bringing the amendment so we can talk about this. You'll remember this bill passed through the House last year. It was, I know the Chairman of Revenue called it irrationally, exuberantly conservative in its estimates of a 10% increase. And so the fund has continued to grow, and so the Senate said last year, hey, let's take a look at this in the interim, make sure the fund, make sure this is bigger than just a one-person bill. Let's make sure committees look at it. They've done that and come back to us. But I would say just about the chart, just in comments in general, you look at any box, and 6 years is a normal graduation. That's how that's measured really across the country because, as we all know, you go to college, things happen. I mean, you get sick, you get injured, you get married, things, you drop out and come back. A lot of things happen. And for most of us to go through and be done in 4 years, that's really not the norm. And, so you look at that 6-year graduation rate. But if you look at every box is improved on here. It's all moving in the right direction. And, so there's so much to really celebrate. This is really a tremendous legacy from the last energy boom. And I think it'll serve our state well. But I think the thing also, this has kept a lot of our best students in state. And we know that kids, when they go to college, they tend to kind of gravitate to where they go to college. They find employment there, and then they never come back. We've got a lot of our best kids we've captured here in Wyoming. The other part is we have one of the worst rates per capita for citizens with advanced degrees. It's one of the worst in the United States. We have one of the highest rates with high school diplomas and, conversely, one of the worst with advanced degrees. And we know about earning potential, whether it's one semester of college, 1 year of college, 2 years of college. It's going to improve their lives forever and their children's lives. And so we know that it's directly tied to earning power throughout the rest of their life. So if we get kids to college, and if they go 1 year, 2 year, 3 years of college, that's a good thing. It's a good thing for our state. And so, again, those folks were keeping some of our best ones and many of those who maybe wouldn't have gone to college. But I appreciate the chart. Everything on this chart is moving in the right direction. And we'll just keep up, keep the good work going, and keep moving forward, defeat this amendment, and pass the bill. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Kasparek.
On and for the amendment. I like the idea of looking at what is really going on with the kids that are going to our colleges. The Hathaway program's a great program. It keeps more Wyoming kids in college. But scholarships should be something earned. Scholarships should be something that's continued to work hard for. And I like what the good representative has brought for us, and I think we should consider it. We should also consider studying, you know, whether or not we need more rigor in the scholarship itself. So, again, on and for.
Anywhere else for your first time? First time. Second time. Second time prior to the sponsor. Chairman Simlett.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'll wrap this up pretty quickly. You know, I just want to refocus really the purpose of the amendment. It's really to say, and there's some great comments about we need to review you know, the eligibility of this program and try to increase, you know, the retention rate of the students that are in the program. We need to do all that, and we do need to do that. And my point is, before we increase the stipend on them, let's do that first. And then it hopefully will lead to a more efficient use of our resources. You know, I'll just point out back when this program was created, there were two things that I recall that we really talked about. The purpose of this program was to improve the graduation rate from 9 through 12. And the second thing was to get more kids, as our good chairman of appropriations talked about, you know, to increase their earning power. Well, I submit to you, I don't think it's really done either one just because of the number of students that we have drop out of this program. With respect to the earning power, I'll go back to my earlier comments about what Wyoming's economy is. Wyoming's economy is really about mineral extraction, and we need welders, and we need electricians, and we need service people. And, you know, we're just not doing a very good job in this program getting these kids prepared in that way. So, again, I'm not really fussing over the amount, but I just want to have this discussion and say, let's just leave this amount where it is right now. Let's go back and spend some time figuring out how to increase the retention rate for the kids involved in this program. The last comment is, when you look at that, again, I'm handpicking as perhaps some of the others of us done, but if you go into that four-year graduation rate on that opportunity side at 10%, I would just ask you, if you had an employee that would work for you for 4 years and only worked one day out of 10, is that something that you think we should give them a raise on?
We're voting on second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 55. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
Chair is in doubt. All in favor, please rise. Those opposed. Those who didn't vote. Second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 55 has failed. Senate File 55 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 56.
Senate File 56 from Senator Geis, an act relating to the state engineer.
Senate File 56 having been read 2 separate times, question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 64.
Senate File 64 from the Labor Committee, an act relating to public health.
There is an amendment. Chairman Gingery.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading amendment number 1. All that this does is there's a section in the bill that says if commissioners of 2 or more counties desire to put their public health together as one, they can form a joint power board. The problem is joint power boards are over in Title 16. And when you actually open up the statutes for Title 35, which deals with public health, it already has a provision for this. It says if you want to combine counties, and this is in 35.1.301, if you want to combine counties, they combine them into health districts. They're just called districts. It's the same concept. There's nothing different. Just you can't have both because the statute in public health already has the concept of a health district across county lines. A joint power board is a very different thing that is used for different purposes. And I had LSO call over to check with DOH, and they were in agreement that this was a good switch because it's just an oversight. It's just using the wrong terminology. It's the same concept. Doesn't change anything substantively. It just puts the right terminology in place.
Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against this amendment, and I certainly have no particular legal knowledge, but I would point out that this bill was the product of a year of work by the department and the counties, and I'm sure that they were well aware that health districts are on an option. On page 2 of the bill, it notes that any existing organization which currently delivers any public health services is authorized to be part of the MOU, so if they have a health district, they can use it. I did look up the Joint Powers Act in 16-1-104, and that also authorizes joint powers boards to be used for public health facilities. So it seems to me that either is an option, and I would prefer to defer to the year of work that the counties and the department put into this.
Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I would echo the good representative from this county. You know, these negotiations, this whole issue has been contentious for a long time. It has been on the radar since I was a freshman in this body. And I spoke at the County Commissioning Association probably 10 years ago and again 6 years ago. And they don't even want to talk about it. This is the first time we've had them to the table. If we want to use language that they understand, that they want, and it is permissible by law, then let's just leave it alone. This they've already approved this. Let's let these negotiations go on. We're going to look at this. It is going to be sunsetted in 2 years. We can bring this to their attention, and we can find a remedy. We can find a remedy in the general session next year. But I don't want to mess with these negotiations. They're too fragile, they're too important, and they affect every single one of us. I would urge you to vote no on this amendment.
Representative Greer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just a quick question for the Chairman of Judiciary. I'm familiar with the Joint Powers Act, but I'm not the Health District. How are those formed? What's that process? That would help me with my vote. Thanks.
Anybody else for their first time? First time, second time, prior to the sponsor. Chairman Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To answer the last question first, it's identical to a joint power board. There's almost actually no difference in what we're talking about. They're formed by the county commissioners. And if you're going across county lines, then the two county commissions agree. And so there's really not a huge distinction or any distinction. The problem is counties are going to be confused because those who have set up districts, now you're telling them they need to set up a joint power board on top of the district. So now you need to have double bureaucracy. You need to have the health district board, and then you're going to need a joint power board to be doing the same exact job. It's just terminology. It's not changing anything substantively. It's not changing anything dealing with these negotiations between counties and whoever. It's just putting the right term in place, and the right term is health district, not a joint power board.
We're voting on second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 64. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 64 fails. Senate File 64, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 75.
Senate File 75 from Senator Bubout, an act relating to authority of the federal government.
Madam Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 75 and ask for your favorable consideration. First of all, before I get to the amendment, I want to explain that I actually like the concept of this bill, particularly the heart of the bill on page 4. Which provides additional sources of funding for challenges to EPA rulemaking, because in the past that funding has been limited to public lands questions, NEPA questions, and so I really do want to emphasize that I like that part of the bill. However, I think the legislative findings on page 2. Which is what the amendment addresses, detract from the purpose of the bill and then ultimately could be counterproductive. I'm not proposing eliminating all of them. I'm just proposing eliminating 1 through 3, Romanets 1, 2, and 3. And I'll give you a couple reasons. First of all, what we're doing is we're asking the Attorney General to go out and challenge EPA actions. And EPA actions can be arbitrary and capricious and generally a bad idea, but still be constitutional. And we don't really want to limit the Attorney General to just challenging rulemaking actions or even suggesting that we only want him to consider challenging rulemaking on constitutional issues. That's really not what these fights are about. They're not about constitutional issues. They're about EPA exceeding its authority, EPA as I said, being arbitrary and capricious. And so I don't really think Romanet 1 adds anything. Romanet 2, I have more substantive concerns because I think it's, frankly, an incorrect statement of the law. And I'll just talk about the Clean Air Act. The Clean Air Act has been amended, major amendments, the amendments of 1977 and the amendments of 1990. And every time it's amended, it requires updating of rules. And finally, even under the original Clean Air Act in 1970, it requires EPA to review on a periodic basis the National Ambient Air Quality Standards. So to say that the agency has somehow expanded its rulemaking authority, you know, since 1970, it's not a correct statement, quite frankly, the way it's written. And finally, the third one is one I think we really ought to think about, because this, the way it's drafted, these findings are going in the green books, the permanent statutes. And presidents come and go, administrations change, and there are times, you may find it hard to believe, but there are times when a decision of the federal EPA is actually in our interests and against the interests of those who oppose the development of Wyoming's natural resources. So I don't believe 1, 2, and 3 add to the bill. I support the concept of the bill, but I would urge you to remove those. And finally, I would just add, legislative findings is not typically what we do. And again, I don't think those three are necessary to achieve the purpose of this bill. And I'd stand for any questions.
Anyone else for the first time? Representative Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This is not a friendly amendment. And I'm not a lawyer who has worked in this field like the sponsor of the amendment. Her ideas are interesting, but I still urge you to vote no, because I think it's real clear that all these items are taking place here in Wyoming. They are affecting our livelihood here in Wyoming, our ability of our state and our citizens to prudently develop our state's resources for the benefit of all Wyomingites. So this pushback, reject the amendment, and this continue with the bill.
Representative Swanitzer.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. I do think the amendment's friendly. A couple points to reiterate. First, we rarely put legislative findings in a bill. I think in my time here, we've done it twice where we've had the debate in 10 years where we said this bill needs to have findings. But historically as a body, we even had a bill in corporations last week that somehow escaped the Senate and had some findings for one sentence. So we said we don't do findings in bills. We take that off. But again, this goes much further than just Clean Air Act. We're doing any EPA action with this. And as the former speaker said, times change, right? 10 years from now, this will be in our statute books, and we're going to continue to say, if the EPA even exists, that they're still severely impacting our ability. Maybe in one area they are, and other areas are not. I don't think you want something in the statute book that says, you know, we think the federal government is always impacting our ability. Certainly they have at times, but as the former speaker said, there have been times where they've sided with us against other states and other interests. So I do like the bill as well. I like using FINRPA funds in the end to, you know, go after these actions. But A, it's been the policy of this state for as long as I can remember, and from what they've told me, that we don't put findings in bills. B, I think the findings are detrimental and unfriendly to the overall intent of this bill and how we'd like to use it to litigate in some of these matters if the EPA extends their authority. And I think as long as we keep 4 on page 2 in there, and the crux of the bill really is 3 on pages 3 and 4 about using the account and allowing the Attorney General to go after this, we don't need the findings part of it. It kind of could confuse and muddy the waters over time.
Representative Kasparek.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against the amendment, you know, we rarely use findings, but we rarely have had a situation like we've been experiencing over the last several years where one agency has has used its power to overreach and overstep in almost everything that we do to produce minerals. I think it's important that we do have this in here and that we do pass this bill and make this a statement of what we are trying to do in this heavy, heavy, oppressive environment of overregulation. Thank you.
Anyone else for their first time? First time. Second time. Representative Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against the amendment for the bill, just another part of the bill, Romanet I on page 2, rules enacted and other actions taken by a federal agency in excess of authority authorized by the United States Congress acting within its powers under the United States Constitution violate the Constitution. That's one of the findings we'll be removing with this amendment. So this just isn't the EPA. It kind of looks at all the federal agencies and all actions against Wyoming. So I encourage you to vote the amendment down and vote aye on the bill.
Representative Swanitzer for your second term.
Thanks, Mr. Speaker. One other point that I don't think we've talked about at all in this body is where this is being put in statute. This is going to 914, which is our protection of constitutional rights statute. It's not our normal place to put this, much less put findings. If you guys open your statute books to 914.101, all right now it's in there is a Second Amendment defense, and now we're expanding that with legislative findings. I really like the intent of the bill, but the more I read the language in the beginning, it does. It expands so much past the Clean Air Act. I understand that I love our state implementation plan for the Clean Air Act. I'm upset the federal government isn't following it. I think there's room to work, and we probably should litigate the heck out of them. But what we're doing here with these findings expands to any EPA action. I mean, we oversee all of our other mineral rights, land, water, solid waste. I just think putting this type of language in statute, you know, come 2 years from now or 10 years from now, if this is in there, it is going to impact our ability to work with the federal government on positive actions with the state of Wyoming over time.
Madam Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I appreciate the debate. I just think it's important for the body to understand that this could come back to bite us. There are a whole lot of, you know, right now, as we stand here today, I totally understand these findings and why everybody's passionate about them. But I can tell you from over 22 years of experience practicing law in this area, that Romanet 2 is an incorrect statement of the law. Number one, Romanet 1 is marginal. Number 3 could hurt us in the future when we are someday down the road on the same side of the federal agency that may be protecting us against a citizen group or against another state. We just don't need these findings to fulfill the purpose of the bill, which is important to get funding to the Attorney General's office. The structure of the bill as it is now without the amendment, it would be very difficult for me to support it, even though I think it fulfills an important purpose. So I'd urge your aye vote.
Put in on second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 75. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
Second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 75 has failed. All in favor, please rise. All opposed. Can we all agree that that's more than 18? Second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 75 has failed. Senate File 75 having been read 2 separate times, question is shall the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, you had a privilege of the floor you wanted to share.
Yeah, Mr. Speaker, if I could have privilege of the floor.
Certainly.
Ladies and gentlemen, I want to introduce you. We have some of the smartest kids from Wyoming down here today. The fifth grade class from Fort Casper Academy in Casper is here in our south balcony. If you kids could stand and be recognized, please.
Representative Blake.
Privilege of the floor, Mr. Speaker.
Certainly.
We had from Green River, I don't see them all now, but we had Brett Stokes, Mark Peterson, City Councilman, Marty Black, City Administrator, and I see Misty Springer from Green River. Please welcome to the House.
Welcome to the House. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 82.
Senate File 82 from the Natural Resource Funding Committee, an act relating to the Wyoming Wildlife and Natural Resource Funding Act.
There are three amendments. First Amendment, Representative Croker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would move third reading amendment number one to Senate File 82 and ask for your favorable consideration. This is a very easy amendment to understand. What it does is just eliminates the four conservation easements from the bill. We've had a lot of discussion over time about conservation easements. I think it's clear, and we can all agree, that it's a landowner's right to do this. The issue that I have is I don't think we should be using tax dollars to pay a landowner to put a conservation easement on his property. That's why I'm taking him out of the bill. I'd ask for your favorable consideration.
Representative Yagi.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. If everyone look in your box, all of the large projects, I got the director of the Wildlife Trust Fund to make this up so we could see what they are. They're kind of broken down. This doesn't have anything to do for or against the amendment that's being proposed, but this gives you a big picture. And all those that are not blacked out are over the 200,000. That's why they had to come before this body. So here's an overview of everything, and then we're talking about the conservation easements with this amendment.
Anyone else for their first time? Representative Summers.
Mr. Speaker, I stand on and against this amendment. The task of the Wyoming Natural Resource Trust Fund is to enhance and preserve wildlife habitat in the state of Wyoming. I don't know that there's anything that does that better than a conservation easement that protects that land into perpetuity and that habitat into perpetuity. So it's a great benefit to the state of Wyoming that this habitat, this wildlife habitat, is preserved. And I would urge you to resist this amendment. There has been a lot of work done by the board that puts these projects together, by the people that have put these projects together. And once again, this is overseen by a committee of this very body. So I would urge you to resist this amendment.
Representative Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and for the amendment, I just don't think this is a proper use of state funds for these. I don't know if these are private hunting areas or outfitters' grounds or what, but I'm doing some research and I'm finding some interesting things on this. I encourage everyone else to do it too.
Chairman Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Rising on in support of the amendment, and every year we have these discussions about conservation easements. Many of us fundamentally do not believe that it is the role of state government to be funding these sorts of conservation easements. And even though we have not had great success in our opposition to them, we are grinding away at it year after year, and you'll notice that we're having an impact. And I haven't spoken on it yet this year, so I felt the need. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, on and against the amendment. And ask yourself this. Is it appropriate to purchase conservation easements? That seems to be the objection. I think everyone agrees. A landowner has a right to put a conservation easement on his or her property. That's not the dispute. What does a conservation easement do? It protects habitat. It protects areas for free-range and game. It protects land from subdivision. It protects all of the things that we cherish in this state. And I can tell you, since I was a boy, I've been continually frustrated at all the areas that I go to that are pristine, that aren't developed, and I go back and there's a road, there's a cabin, there's something, there's some sort of development, and it goes on and on and on. The march of development of our land and our state is inexorable. And that development, if you turn around and look at it from an elk's point of view and you say, where can an elk go anymore to just lay down and relax? And that area is becoming more and more restricted. There are fewer and fewer places. And I picked the elk for a reason, because that's an animal that's not very adaptive to a development. We have some other animals where I hear the arguments made. I can't dispute them. Mule deer, antelope seem to coexist. Elk don't do very well in those sorts of environments. So when I was a boy, there were a lot of places that I used to go with my father, and then I worked on ranches in some of the wildest places in Wyoming. I worked on dude ranches the Tetons. I've been lots of places, and over the years, I just see fewer and fewer places where an elk can go and lay down and relax. And one day, there isn't going to be any. There just isn't going to be one left at the rate that we're going. And so that's what we get when we get a conservation easement. We get some protection for a place where those game herds can live and flourish and run it wild and do what they do. And I think there's a great suspicion about these that they're hunting preserves that people are putting together. That's just, it's nonsensical as long as we have our hunter preference points and our draw system that we have for licenses. It won't work. It's not a model that'll work. And I don't think that anybody expects it. The only way you can make it work is own an entire area. And actually, there might be one area in Wyoming that's under the ownership of one landowner. And even that landowner can't make it work because he can't predict who is going to draw out of the universe of people that apply. So then I hear it said, well, it's not the role of government to fund these conservation easements. Well, look. I think we're getting something for our money. And we'll talk about public access in a minute, but I think we're getting something for our money, which is a preservation of the areas that are left, which becomes smaller and smaller and more restricted and more encroached on all the time. And if you just want to buy them, if you just want to outright buy these places that you're getting conservation easements on for the same purpose, to protect the habitat and to protect the game and protect the natural state of things, you would pay way more money than is being paid for these conservation easements. We don't need all the sticks in the bundle. We're fortunate that we have a way that we can buy a couple of sticks in the bundle, and we can stop development, we can stop encroachment, we can preserve it as it is, we can let historic uses go on. I've written these, I can show them to you. Typically, they're ranches. Typically, they have all kinds. They're usually at least a quarter of an inch thick. They have all kinds of conditions that say all the traditional ranching that's going on can continue to go on. The farming that's going on can continue to go on. And the historic activities that we see can continue to be. But it stops subdivision and it protects these properties from further development. So I'm here to tell you that I think it's a good deal. I think it's a fair deal for the money, and I think we would be foolish to say that we're going to get out, that we're going to stop the Wildlife Trust Fund from putting money into conservation easements, when in fact the Wildlife Trust Fund is exactly for this purpose, to protect the kind of things that are granted in a conservation easement. And I think sometimes here on the floor, sometimes I kind of sit here and I muse when I hear people talk about conservation easements. I muse over where they live. And, you know, if you live 25 miles outside of the big city to the south and the next state to the south, it's obvious, and you're probably in favor of conservation easements. If you live clear up on the northern border of our state next to the next state, it doesn't seem so imperative to you. It doesn't seem so urgent. But understand, there's going to be a subdivision near to you someday. someday there's going to be an encroachment. Because my entire life, I've seen it, as I say, it just progresses inexorably. And this is the only way to stop it and the only way to protect the things about our state that we love. So on and against the amendment, I really urge you to vote against this and allow the Wildlife Trust Fund, which is created to preserve habitat and do these sort of things, allow it to work.
Representative Greer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I rise in opposition to the amendment. The good majority floor leader spent part of his youth working in the mountains on a large ranch in Washakie County, and he is still known this day in Washakie County as Resting Elk. I'm not going to debate whether the use of public funds is appropriate for conservation easements at this time. I think that's a debate we need to have, but in the right vein. This amendment is the wrong time to do this. These projects that are in there, there's already been a great deal of work that has gone into them. Appraisals have been done, baseline work that has been taken care of, all under the understanding that our statutes allow this to happen and that these funds are available for this particular purpose. If it is this body's policy decision that we don't want to use public funds, that's fine. But what we need to do is bring that in a bill in the Wildlife Trust Fund statutes and make those adjustments there. Doing it through this budget amendment is inappropriate and really goes contrary to the representations that we have made to the people who have stepped up and started this process now. And that's why I ask you to vote this amendment down now and would look forward to the debate on the merits of public funds going into these at a later date in an appropriate format.
Representative Simlet.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My comments will be brief. I've spent a lot of time at this microphone over the years sharing with you some of my perspective about conservation easements, and maybe some of you remember them, maybe some of you don't, but I'm not going to repeat them. I'm not sure when is the right time to do this. We've had this debate the last 3 or 4 years, and we hear from the last speaker that it's still not the right time. It's still not the right time. I submit that some place we have to start. I'm one of those people along the northern border. Elk are welcome at my place anytime. We do have a few. There's plenty of room for them up there. I wouldn't ask for a public funded conservation easement in my place. If I want to do it, I would do it on my own, and I wouldn't benefit from it. And I don't benefit from that at all. And maybe there's people here on the floor that could benefit from it, but I certainly wouldn't. The question I would have, if we don't approve this amendment, with respect to the conservation easements that's currently in this bill, I guess I'd like to know what provisions are in those easements for partial development. I've heard some stories about some of these easements. You can have up to 10 or 15 envelopes, I think they call them, where you can have development even with a publicly funded conservation easement. And are those provisions also in these easements?
Representative Gay.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Conservation easements basically boil down to paying somebody to not do something. The elk has a place to lie down and rest right now, as long as you don't build a subdivision or don't put a road through. So they're paying somebody to not build that road or not put in that subdivision. One of the prior speakers sort of made the analogy where you're selling protection. Reminds me of those guys on the East Coast named Guido that'll sell you protection. You know what I mean?
Anyone else for your first time? First time. Representative Mader.
I often wonder if the word conservation oughtn't be a change to preservation. And the reason being, ladies and gentlemen, is we're always being pressured to take more and more land out of use. And there seems to be an underlying concept that everything we humans do is detrimental to wildlife, I submit to you that we have, as humans, saved way more wildlife than we've ever done it through legislative action. Now, I've worked extensively on things like the Endangered Species Act, and the fossil record is abundantly clear. There are thousands upon thousands of species that Mama Nature decided shouldn't go on, as opposed to the only two that I can find that man may have had a part in eliminating those species, and that's the passenger pigeon and the Carolina parakeet. Those are the only two I found. We in Wyoming have saved the antelope from extinction. We have saved the elk from extinction. We've worked very hard for the buffalo. And the thing is, we've done it without public funds. And I keep wondering, like earlier speakers, is the fact is, when do we quit funding these things? And the hue and cry there's going to be a subdivision everywhere is baloney. I mean, it won't. I mean, we do have to expand because our populations expand, and unless we want to try something like China where we control birth rates and things like that, we're going to have use of the land. And only a small percentage of the land is being used for what we get our sustenance from, and we're taking more of that. The point is we can have livestock grazing, which is very beneficial to a lot of wildlife species in a lot of areas. So consider heavily the long-term aspects of more and more of these so-called conservation easements, which actually are preservationists in philosophy. And conservation provides for the wise and prudent use of resources. And preservation says lock it up and you can't use it. And it's in perpetuity. So if we make a mistake, we made a long-term mistake. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Anyone else for their first time? First time. Second time. Representative Summers.
Mr. Speaker, I would ask this body, is it a public benefit to keep sage grouse off of the Endangered Species Act? Is it a public benefit to keep oil and gas and agriculture on the landscape in southwest Wyoming if sage grouse is listed? The agency that runs that show, kind of the Endangered Species Act, has stated that they are considering that the use of conservation easements helps in that discussion. It helps protect that habitat. And that's what the Wildlife Natural Resource Trust Fund is about. It's about protecting habitat for wildlife for the public. So I would encourage you, this is a great tool the state of Wyoming has to help with endangered species issues. And I guarantee that the industry people that I've talked to, they support this. They know that this is a big deal. Thank you.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. A couple technical matters. The question of building envelopes. Yes, you can have building envelopes within a conservation easement, and that is frequently done. But understand how the appraisal process works. The conservation easement, theoretically at least, well, I think it does, the conservation easement decreases the value of the land. However, having a building envelope inside a conservation easement increases the value of the building envelope that's held out. And so the two have to be played off against one another, and that puts a real limit on how many building envelopes are going to be on that piece of property. And I hope that I make that clear, but if you live in the middle of a conservation easement, your land is perceived to be very valuable because nobody's going to interrupt your view shed. Nobody's going to put some conflicting land use next to you that's going to bother you. So that makes that property, that building envelope, go up. And when the appraisal process all works, that counts against, tax-wise, that counts against the benefit of the conservation easement. So that will limit the number of building envelopes that anyone would want to have in one of these. Now, as far as taking land out of use, that's just wrong. And what it does is what a conservation easement does, and someday, if you guys keep beating on me, I'm going to bring one in and read it to you. It'll be about a half a day deal. They are typically really, really long. But they say, everyone that I've ever done, everyone I've ever seen, continues the existing uses on the land and really continues everything that's not inconsistent with the objective that's trying to be achieved. And that is to protect habitat or protect some game species. And so if you've got, I've never seen one that prohibited grazing. Now, if somebody can show me one, I would just be shocked. And it is true, livestock grazing is compatible with preserving wildlife habitat. And in fact, there's a lot of science out there to the effect that stopping livestock grazing would be the wrong thing to do if you're trying to protect habitat. And so all this does is limit the kinds of activities that would be inconsistent with what we're trying to protect. And they are as light as small an encroachment on the existing use of the land as can possibly be had. And most of them in Wyoming are ranches where there is wildlife. There's extensive wildlife on the property. And those conservation easements do not restrict the existing ranching activity that's taken place. But it's going to restrict a subdivision. It's going to restrict these 40-acre developments. There are three places I can think of where you can see graphic examples of what a conservation easement does. One of them is north of the city that we're in, going toward the next county north. And the man that used to sit right back over there was responsible for putting a conservation easement on there. And if you watch going north, you hit a point and it stops. It's over. And but for that conservation easement, I don't know if it ever would have stopped. Another one is north of the city that I live in on the old highway. And I had a client that just donated one. And it is effectively, I think, going to stop the inexorable march north that's gone now since I was a boy, and it's probably, I don't know how, it's got to be at least 15 miles, and it's moving, it's leapfrogging all the time. That conservation easement is finally going to put a stop to that, I think. And the third example I'd give you to have a look at, and I've talked about it before, is drive from the city that I live in toward the Snowy Range on that road. And on one side, there's nothing, and on the other side, there's all this development. You just drive up there and take a look at it and say, what on the side of the road where there's development, what are we doing? There is no possibility of life, of wildlife habitat left there. And on the other side of the road there is, and it is really graphic. If you just drive up there, you look one way, and you look the other way, and you can see exactly what we're trying to accomplish.
Representative Greer, you've told us about resting out. Please tell us about places where you can see horses.
Mr. Speaker, I'd just like to say I did not see any bills come forward this session to change the statutes on funding conservation easements out of this fund. That is what we need to do. That is how we need to establish this policy, not by a budget amendment that goes back goes back on a promise or on our existing statutes to those people that have already gone through this process to this point, the money they've expended, the work that they've put into it. Not only the organization or the people that are involved with the easements, but the organizations that are working with them, the whole process. If it is a will of this body that we don't want to use public funds for conservation easements, that's fine. That's a policy decision. But that needs to come in a proper form of a bill for proper debate over that. And this amendment does not do that. It does it in a backhanded way and goes back on our representations and our promises to our constituents. The bill comes up next year, great, bring it. We'll debate it. But defeat this amendment now.
Chairman Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And I do take question with those last statements. Why, then, do we have a bill before us? Do we not have the ability as the elected legislature to amend a piece of legislation before us? Of course we do. Of course we do. This is our prerogative. If we choose to do it, we choose to do it. If we choose not to do it, we choose not to do it.
Anybody else for their second time? Second time. Second time prior to the sponsor. Representative Croker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'll be quick in closing. I would like to correct a statement that it's a budget amendment. This is an amendment on a bill. And again, it's an amendment on a bill for spending that we're supposed to approve or disapprove. I guess I'm confused about making a promise that requires legislative approval. We haven't approved it yet, so there obviously has been no promise made. Anyway, I think everybody probably has their minds made up. So I'll just close by saying forever is a very long time. Let's be cautious before we commit state funds to something that's forever.
We're voting on a second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 82. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
Chair is in doubt. All in favor, please rise. Opposed. Can we all agree that that's more than 17? Second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 82 has failed. We're on second reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 82. Representative Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading amendment number 2 to House Bill or Senate File 82 and ask for your favorable consideration. We could forego this discussion if we had approved the previous bill. But since we didn't, what this does is basically go in there. We're going to be spending the money anyway. And if you want to really know what we're spending on a per-acre basis, there's a handout there, a little spreadsheet, that looks at the four projects, the Rimrock, the Wapiti Ridge, Kroonberg Ranch, Purple Sage. And you can look at the total project costs, what the grant's going to be, what the acres are, the cost per acre for the total cost of the project, and what the grant is costing per acre. You know, I know a lot of areas in Wyoming where a ranch doesn't sell anywhere near $500 or $600 an acre, but we're spending that type of money on these projects for the total. The grant, the state part of it, is only a fraction of that, maybe 25-30% it looks like on most of these. I don't know where that other money's coming from without further research. I'm going to try to figure that out. I don't know if it's other state programs that are providing that other money, but it concerns me a great deal that we're sticking this amount of money in there. And, you know, these aren't projects that some guy that makes $15,000 a year wants to do on his ranch to save wildlife. These are all very wealthy people that are doing these projects. So we're giving them money out of our coffers for these projects. And it's a large amount of money. I'd rather see this money go to lowering our waiting list for some of our programs that we have. All this bill, we've already approved the money. The money's going there. That's what we just did by rejecting that last amendment. What this amendment does, going to the amendment at the bottom there, page 24, line 3, include a provision allowing public access to the property. I mean, is that so much to ask for us granting this amount of money to these folks that are doing these programs? Frankly, I'll be surprised if they all go forward because they don't want the public on these lands. You know, they want to increase their wildlife habitat. I don't know if they're outfitters or contract their ranches to outfitters for hunting or whatever, but, you know, the little bit of research I've done just this morning on this is kind of surprising. I'm going to be doing a lot more before third reading, too. So I'd encourage an aye vote on this.
Mr. Majority Whip.
Mr. Speaker, I'd make a point of order, and maybe the Speaker can clarify as well, but I think the amendment is outside the scope of the bill because it brings in, we're talking 2014 large project fundings, and this comes in and impacts, at least as I understand it, projects other than the 2014 large project funding.
Oh, I just love it when you make me think. Would the Rules Committee join me? brothers and sisters of the 62nd, there's a part in the bill title that says requiring specified conservation easements to include the state of Wyoming as a third-party beneficiary as specified. It was going to be the ruling of the chair that was going to be inside the scope, or that the amendment is inside the scope of the bill because of that language. But as I told the Rules Committee, I was lonely and wanted them to come and visit. Nobody on the Rules Committee objected, so that will be the ruling of the chair that the amendment is in order. Anybody else for their first time on the amendment? Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Let's pick up where we left off, which was with the statement, forever is a long time. And forever is a long time, and I would submit to you all, and those of you who have been here have heard this argument before, this city, where we sit right now, is forever. No elk is ever going to lay down in this city again. And so there are forever things besides conservation easements. And isn't it appropriate in some places to say man is going to preclude wildlife existence forever? And isn't it equally appropriate other places to say wildlife is going to trump the activities of man that would result in wildlife leaving, vacating the area? Now, this matter of public access, it's all about the sticks in the bundle. How many sticks do you want to buy? We're trying to accomplish the objective as cheaply as we can. Why would we spend money for public access when it's really inconsistent with the objective in a lot of instances, which is to protect habitat and protect wildlife and the things that they do? So it's another stick in the bundle. We could buy it. We didn't pay for it in these. It wasn't part of the bargain. If we throw that in now, these conservation easements are going to fail. If we say that all conservation easements have to include public access, they're going to be more expensive. And if we say that conservation easements are all going to include public access, a lot of ranchers are going to say, I'm not doing conservation easements anymore. That's not my objective. My objective is not to provide a vehicle that's going to allow the public to come on this land. And finally, and the game and fish biologists tell us about it all the time, there are areas in this state where wildlife needs to be left unmolested. And we've done work on that in this body. For instance, we passed extensive legislation about picking up antlers in the spring because it was such a harassment to wildlife that it was destructive to their existence. And so we said, as I recall, we finally compromised on that and said west of the Continental Divide you can't pick up antlers until a certain date. And there's been a lot of unlawful activity with respect to antlers that has been curbed for the good of wildlife. So we don't necessarily want public access everywhere where we have conservation easements anyway. I think it's a misnomer to think that. If we want public access, then we're going to have to pay for it. That's not the objective. The objective is not to obtain public access. The objective is to protect that place where an elk can go and lay down and relax. On and against the amendment.
Madam Minority Floor Leader, would you come up here and Representative Gay?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The previous speaker was mentioning repeatedly forever, making this change is forever, making that change is forever. I want to remind you all that our Constitution, Article 1, Section 30, perpetuities are prohibited. Conservation easement that is granted in perpetuity is is prohibited by our Constitution. Thank you.
Representative Yagi, for your first time.
Thank you. As I look at this and hear the points that are being debated, just knowing a little bit about, you know, some of these places, they're the real nice places that you want to protect, that you would like to make sure they're going to be there forever. We could be paying for some pretty good private reserves for some landowners. I think there might be a little bit of wiggle room in here on a third reading amendment, but if we just leave it open that we are going to furnish this amount of money, and I've been trying to go through all of them and figure out how many million they have and what the percent. I think it's 25% state and 25% and 50%. Most of it comes from the federal government. That's why we're having conservation easements, because somebody's putting up a lot of money, and that is the federal government. But I think this is a good point. If we are paying this much money for a conservation easement, there should be some consideration for public access. So I'm for this amendment. Thank you.
Madam Speaker Pro Tem.
Thank you, Madam Minority Leader. I stand on and against the amendment. You know, it's just not wealthy people who are getting state money for these easements. Many of them donate their easements. The funding allows easements on lands of those who are not wealthy. Funding this keeps many ordinary ranchers in the ranching community. The sources of funding are very clear. They're very well documented, and most from the federal government that we would be giving up if we didn't strive to find matching funds. Some of these funds are from foundations that are interested in open space, granted. No one is stopping grazing or other normal ranch activities, just allowing historical use and preventing all open space and habitat from being lost. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been a pure positive benefit for the folks in my community and my surrounding area. And yes, we do have places for elk to lie down.
Anyone else for your first time? First time? Second time? Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam Chairman, I think I've talked about enough, but a couple more things. This provision about perpetuities in the Constitution, it talks about when it's vesting. For instance, I just asked one of our members, do you want to own your ranch in perpetuity or just for a while? And he said just for a while, but I think he was thinking about a pretty long while. Perpetuities refers to when the property vests. That's why a deed in fee simple of a piece of property does not violate that constitutional provision, because the ownership of the property vests upon the time of delivery of the deed. And for the same reason, that constitutional provision would not apply to a conservation easement, because ownership of that stick in the bundle vests at the time that the deed is delivered. And those perpetuities they're talking about are arrangements where ownership doesn't vest, where it goes on. It's a complicated subject, and that's the best I can do on it, shooting from the hip. And then I heard the statement, well, if we're paying this much money, we ought to get public access. Well, that's a relative term. What does that mean if we're paying this much money? We paid this much money for the one stick in the bundle. If we want the other stick in the bundle, which is public access, we'd get another charge for that. There'd be additional money. We don't need to pay that money for the objective that we're trying to accomplish. And finally, I would tell you, you think this is a lot of money? I can show you a spot in Jackson Hole where 40 acres sold for $40 million. So this is peanuts compared to that. It's all relative to what the land is worth and what the particular stick in the bundle that we're trying to purchase is worth. On and against the amendment.
Thank you. For all the attorneys in the room, you can count that for CLE law. Their second time. Second time before the sponsor, Representative Miller.
Thank you, Madam Minority Floor Leader. Is that right? Yeah, interesting discussion. Thank you. Just remember, we've already agreed to put this money out there. It's done. All we're trying to do on only these four conservation easements is allowing public access. Include a provision allowing public access.
what that provision is, it'll maybe restrict them to certain times of the year during fishing season or hunting season. They can negotiate that at some point. This is not an erroneous requirement for these folks that are receiving our state funds when they're probably not in need. You know, I kind of even question the constitutionality of this, but again, I'm not a lawyer, and I'd have to lawyers explain that to me, why this isn't against our Constitution, giving money to people that don't need it. Again, look at that handout. Look at the amount of funds we're providing these ranches. The lowest one is $300,000. The highest one is $500,000. On a per-acre basis, the grant itself is $75 an acre to $144 per acre. That's a lot of money. Again, I know areas in most areas outside of Jackson Hole where the whole ranch doesn't sell for $100 or $150 per acre. So you're given a lot of money here. You know, if they don't want public access on these conservation easements, don't ask for the state funds. It's that simple. They can still do the conservation easement. They can still get their federal tax deductions. It's still to their advantage to do this. If you're going to take state money, though, this provides access for the state hunters and fishermen. You know, you heard comments about ranching and grazing and all this will continue. Well, frankly, all ag can continue on this land. If the bringer of this conservation amendment or easement is row cropping from fence to fence, he's going to continue to do that too. I don't know if that's good for the wildlife. You know, the one that really gets me is the building sites within these conservation easements. You know, we've all heard of the cherry stemming. They love to do this with wilderness areas because, you know, you go into the forest and there's an old road going to an old mining camp, and all the environmental groups cherry stem those areas out of there because there's already development. There's already been industrial activities taking place. We're doing the same thing here by cherry stemming really expensive house sites or retreat sites, not for the 99%. It's for that other percent. And that's about all I have to say. We've talked about this enough. I ask for your favorable approval. Again, this access only applies to these four, not to all of them, just these four. Thank you.
We are voting on a second reading amendment to Senate File 82. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
No.
Second reading amendment number 2 has failed. Oh, division being called. All those in favor, please stand. All those opposed, please stand. Second reading amendment to Senate File 82 has failed. We're now on third reading amendment. Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Madam Minority Floor Leader. I move second reading amendment number 3 to Senate File 82 and ask for your favorable consideration. Please refer to page 6 of your bill, line 1. My amendment inserts, after the word purpose, study in consultation with the University of Wyoming. Yesterday, a lot of people were surprised that this is not a study. This is actual poisoning of the lake that's going on, netting, all sorts of incidental species, as well as the undesirable to some lake trout. So let's make it a study. Let's make the purpose of this project to study with the University of Wyoming, not the university in that state to the north, or maybe in consultation with them as well, since it's already a done deal. But let's bring the University of Wyoming in this. Let's get some input from Wyoming scholars on this subject. The second part of my amendment refers to page 7 in the first paragraph after subsection. Funds appropriated pursuant to this paragraph shall only be used to study the removal of non-native fishes as provided in paragraph Romanet 2 of this subsection, and none of these funds shall be used for removal without further action by the legislature. So I urge your aye vote on this amendment. Thank you.
Representative Crone.
Thank you, Madam Minority Floor Leader. First of all, I think it's important that we need to understand that this program is ongoing. There was $150,000 that was funded previously by the Trust Fund Board, and this program is ongoing as we speak. A lot of those funds are used for the mapping. The majority of the killing of the lake trout is done on the federal side through the Park Service. The $150,000 that was allocated previously, the majority of that goes towards the mapping to find exactly where the eggs are, where the lake trout are. But the majority of the killing is being done by the Park Service, $2 million worth of that. This program is working. It is eradicating the lake trout. It is protecting the cutthroat, which is, as we talked about yesterday, is an important aspect for this state. Not only in terms of the economic value of having the cutthroat here and anglers and sportsmen fishing for the cutthroat, but also the ecological value, the value of the cutthroat to the ecosystem. And I think that that's a huge, huge thing that we need to consider and to protect. So I don't think this amendment is needed at all. The program's ongoing. It has proven to be successful. It's slated to end in 2016. I think that this is an important investment for Wyoming. And, you know, we talked yesterday about let's not fund something that the federal government should be doing. Well, we're working with them, and they have a larger commitment in terms of this process than the state does. And all that water that's in the park next to where I live is Wyoming's water, and it comes into our state. So I urge you to vote no on the amendment and aye on the bill. Thank you.
Representative Northrup.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Let's get to the heart of this deal. This is about listing another species on the endangered species list. This is about putting cutthroats on the endangered species list. Let's talk about how much water in Wyoming has cutthroats in them and where the best, purest population of these cutthroats exist in the United States. That's in that big body of water in that park that's up to the north. This is actually a study that's been ongoing. There's fish that have telemetry tagged onto them. They're studying where the fish travel. They're studying where the fish lay their eggs. And they're studying what the habits are of these fish using this telemetry. If we were to take these dollars away from them, from the people doing the study, then the batteries in these telemetry units would all die. And so now, actually run out of life, excuse me. And so it would put at a great disadvantage. You have to go back and re-tag a bunch of fish and start over, and you would lose the data again, the consistency of it. This amendment will move the study that is ongoing backwards and into the University of Wyoming. They've actually went to the best fish biologist in the University of Wyoming, which is Dr. Wayne Hubert. He's a premier fisheries biologist, and they've actually hired him to help put this together so that this study can move forward. No funds have been used yet out of this to fish or to net fish because that's part of the park's mission. No funds have been used to destroy eggs because that's part of the park's mission. The appropriation is for a further study of lake trout in Yellowstone Lake. Trout have been tagged with transponders, as I've said, and it goes. If this goes on, the University of Wyoming, as this amendment states, will delay the ongoing study, and the life of these batteries, as I said, will be expended. There's also in your inbox a little study that says that there's some fingerlings that were released into the lake of Lake Trout. I asked about this, and in 1890, Chittenden, who was the director of the lake at that time, stated that there was 10,000 fingerlings of lake trout released into the river above the falls. When the U.S. Fish Commission looked into this, they actually said that the records show that it was 10,000 fingerlings of whitefish that were released into the lake. I stand on and against this amendment, and remember, this is actually about putting another species on the endangered species list. This is a detriment to Wyoming. Think about where the water goes and who uses the water. We'll have a fish ladder on every little piece of water trying to get these up and taking care of them. Thank you.
Chairman Gingrey.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I'm a little confused. The last two speakers seem to be going against the amendment. It's my understanding that the bringer of the amendment was just clarifying what the testimony was. The testimony that we heard yesterday on the floor was that the testimony in appropriations was the money would only be used for a study. And I think that's all she's doing is clarifying that it's a study. She did add in this language, in consultation with the University of Wyoming. Well, it sounds like there's already a guy over at the University of Wyoming that's on board. Seems like they just need to make a phone call. I'm not understanding what the opposition to the amendment is. No one's really spoke as to why this amendment's bad. They've spoken as to, you know, keep the funding flowing, but all she's trying to do is clarify that the testimony was it was going to be a study. She's putting study in there. Now, the eradication part, my understanding, that was going to be money from private donors and from the federal government, and our money was going to be used for the studying part. So, again, it just seemed like she was just clarifying. I'm not understanding why people are advocating to vote no.
Representative Patton.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. On and against the amendment, I have one thing that really is kind of a killer here in the amendment, is that none of these funds shall be used for removal without further action by the legislature. If the study happens to provide for some removal in one area for experimental purposes or other within the study, I don't know if we're going to get called into a special session for the fish study or if they'd have to wait. We're kind of quick to catch, you know. We don't stay here very long. We're not all that accessible. So with that provision, I think it's pretty much unworkable.
Anyone else for your first time? First time? Second time? Representative Crone.
Thank you, Madam Minority Leader. To answer the good chairman of Judiciary's question, the way that I read the language of the amendment, this process, as mentioned before, is ongoing. It is an ongoing mapping process with the state funds. I don't believe that a study is necessary. I don't believe that incorporating the University of Wyoming into this process is appropriate or necessary at this stage. So from my view, the amendment says, okay, this work is already going on. We're conducting this surveying. The National Park Service is conducting the removal of the fish. Why would we need to study it? I mean, this is an ongoing operation, ongoing process. I also agree with a good representative from Sheridan when he discusses the language in the second part. Once again, I don't think that that language is appropriate when we have an ongoing operation and it's being successful. It's working. The process is working. We're removing lake trout. We're preserving cutthroats and improving the ecosystem. So my answer to the good representative and my judiciary chair is we're up and moving. We're going. It's not necessary to study it any further. And let's keep doing the good work that this bill supports. Thank you. On and against the amendment.
Representative Northrup.
Once again, on and against the amendment, and I'd just like to say that let's not muddy the waters, and let's let this study proceed as it is, and let it move forward. On and against. Thank you.
Chairman Gingrey.
Just one more time, and I went back and clarified with one of the appropriations members. The testimony in their committee was that this was just a study. I guess I'm a little confused. They're testifying in committee as to one thing, and then we're getting on the floor, and suddenly it's something different. People have got to be accurate when they're testifying. If the testimony was clearly just a study, then I'm not sure why this doesn't work. But, you know, if there's some other language that needs to be added, maybe on a third reading, study and survey, you know, that might be appropriate too. But, I mean, again and again, I've been told, and now I'm starting to doubt what I was told, because I was for this, was that they were going to study it and survey where the eggs were. Then other funds were going to be used, park funds and private donors, to do the eradication. Now we've just heard from these other speakers, no, the money's going to be used differently. I think there's some confusion as to what people have been saying to us, to all of us. I'm not blaming any of us. I think there's been some miscommunications as to what this funds is for. And hopefully by third reading we can clear up what is the intent of these monies. Is the money to eradicate the eggs, or is the money just simply to study the problem, or is the money to survey where the eggs are? I think there's got to be that clarification at some point.
Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Madam Minority Floor Leader. This is a lake of 136 square miles. I have no problem studying where eggs are, water column habitats, but any money going to the removal, the eradication of any species needs to come back to the legislature for approval. I urge your aye vote on the amendment. Thank you.
We are voting on second reading amendment number 3 to Senate File 82. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
No.
Second reading amendment number 3 to Senate File 82 has failed. Senate File 82 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 84.
Senate File 84 from Senator Ross, an act relating to domestic relations and child support.
Senate File 84, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 92.
Senate File 92 from Senator Coe, an act relating to education.
Senate File 92, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The final bill on second reading for our consideration is Senate Joint Resolution 1.
Senate Joint Resolution 1 from Senator Anderson, a joint resolution requesting Congress to require the Federal Environmental Protection Agency to respect the primacy of Wyoming in developing guidelines for regulating carbon dioxide emissions.
Senate Joint Resolution having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. We're not that order of business of messages from the Senate.
Message number 198. Mr. Speaker, the Senate did concur on House amendments to the bill listed below. Senate File 70, State Appropriations, Lapsing of Funds, Ice 30, No 0, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Mr. Speaker, Senate File 103, the Senate failed to concur on House amendments to the bill listed above, which the Senate File 103, right, noes 30, ayes 0. The Senate requests the House to appoint a conference committee number 01 to meet with the Light Committee from the Senate to report recommended amendments to the bill for final consideration by both houses. Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 200. Mr. Speaker, the President appointed Senate conferees to meet with a Light Committee, number 01, from the House on Amendments to Senate File 103. Senator Ross, Chairman, also as well as Senator Nicholas and Senator Rothfuss. Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 201. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill 3, Alternative Schools, 29 ayes, 1 no. Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 202. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill Number 7, Unlawful Entry into Occupied Structure, ayes 17, noes 13. Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 203. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill 8, Court Reporter Fee Elimination, ayes 30, noes 0. Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 204. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill 9, Bodily Injury and Serious Bodily Injury, ayes 30, noes 0. Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 205, concurrence requested. Mr. Speaker, House Bill Number 6, Domestic Assault and Battery, the House bill listed above passed on third reading in amended form by the vote indicated, ayes 27, noes 3. The Senate respectfully asked the House to concur by adopting the listed amendments. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 206, House Bill Number 46, Public Employee Pension Plans, the House bill listed, House Bill 46, passed on third reading in amended form as follows. Ayes 29, noes 1. The Senate respectfully asks the House to concur by adopting listed amendments. Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk.
Conference Committee on Senate File 103 will be Stubson, Chairman, Lubnow, and Byrd. We're now at that order of business and committee announcements. Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Revenue Committee Number 3 will meet tomorrow morning at 8, where we have one bill, Senate File 80, Real Estate Licensure Revisions. Thank you.
Madam Speaker Pro Tem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your Committee Number 7, Corporations, will meet on noon adjournment, and we will hear Senate File 17, 24, 25, 107, and 91.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 9 will meet tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock to consider Senate File 97, Large Fund Economic Development Loans, and Senate File 113, Task Force Expansion of Natural Gas Service.
Chairman Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 1 will meet right now at noon. We will finish up the DNA evidence bill and the Work Release Act bill from this morning, and then we will take on Senate File 117, Summary Probate Proceedings, and Senate File 116, Expungement of Felonies.
Chairman Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 8, Transportation, Highway, and Military Affairs, will meet 10 minutes after adjournment today in H-17 to look at two bills, Senate File 101, License Plate Vehicle Indicator, and Senate File 86, Engrossed, Obstructing Roads and Highways.
Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number 10, Labor, will meet tomorrow at 10 minutes afternoon recess in room H-17, where we will hear Senate File 96, Engrossed Workforce Service Independent Contractors, and then we will begin discussion on interim topics.
Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 2 will meet upon noon recess to continue hearings on Senate File 100, and also at your Joint Conference Committee on House Bill 1 will continue hearings at 1 p.m. in room 204.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move the House stand in recess until 2 o'clock p.m.
You've heard the motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. House is in recess.